Well, in 3 weeks, Missouri voters will make a pair of big health care decisions. Proposition B on the ballot would increase the state cigarette tax, which at 17 cents a pack is the lowest in the country, and it's not even close. Voters will also consider Proposition E, which would prohibit Governor Jay Nixon or any state agency, for that matter, from setting up a health insurance exchange without the approval of the legislature or the state's voters. Here to help us understand these very weighty issues is KCUR healthcare reporter Alana Gordon, just named best reporter by The Pitch, and I couldn't agree more. Alana, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Nice to have you here. Well, let's start with cigarettes. The proposal on the ballot is to increase the tax on a pack from 17 cents to 90 cents. That would take Missouri from the lowest cigarette tax in the nation to just the 33rd highest. What's the argument for raising this tax, Alana?
The argument for raising it, there's several. One has to do with, again, it being the lowest in the country. And at the same time, you see in Missouri having one of the highest smoking rates. So one of the arguments has to do with how as a way to help people quit smoking.
That is, you raise the tax and people won't want to pay as much for a pack of cigarettes. So it's kind of an ancillary benefit you get here. If you raise this tax, the state will save money in the long run, because they'll have to pay fewer dollars in Medicaid to help protect these people and take care of them as they suffer from smoking-related illnesses.
I think. And that's especially an issue for young adults, because young adults tend to be more geared towards price issues. And so that's one big argument. Another big argument has to do with the funding that would come in for schools for tobacco prevention programs. And also when you think about the Medicaid costs associated with smoking. So you have in Missouri, proponents talk about there being more than $500 million in Medicaid costs for tobacco-related illnesses in the state.
So folks say that the money from this, the millions of dollars that this would raise, would go to schools, higher education, and smoking cessation programs of one kind or another, right?
Yeah, it's estimated to bring in $283 to $423 million.
That's a lot and, of money. Wow.
Yeah, and so half of that would be broken down between K through 12 and then higher education, or more than half, and then part of that would also go into tobacco prevention programs. And one of the proponents talk about how, you know, Missouri is a really low state when it comes to tobacco prevention funding. There's no, at the state level, funding for tobacco prevention programs for kids, for example.
Yeah.
So it would go into something like that.
Well, I was talking about this on Nick Haines' show on Friday night on KCPT, and there's always this question for any state government. If you raise a bunch of money from a new tax like this, and you say you're going to give it to public schools, then lawmakers might be tempted to sort of sit back and say, well, okay, this extra money's coming in from this tax. It's going to, we'll put $200 million towards schools. You know, we'll cut back money that would have gone to schools and use it in so many other places that so desperately need money. So it's kind of a shell game with the money in some cases.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really know the, you know, proponents of this. The American Cancer Society is a big backer. And, you know, they talked about they're going to be watching this and you know, going to be there in full force while the legislature's in session to be sure that that is where it goes. But I mean, I think that that's a big concern when you talk to people who are wary of measures like this. When you think about raising a tax, what is the state going to be doing with it? Is that going to be going towards, you know, good use and whatnot?
Is it really going to increase spending on public schools, or will it really not prove that out over time, I guess, is the issue. And the argument against raising the cigarette tax, Alana, would be what?
Well, the argument is really coming very forcefully from a group of convenience stores, gas stations, to talk about what this would mean in terms of the competitiveness. For example, with other neighboring states, it would put the tobacco cigarette tax higher than in Kansas. At the same time, you know, the big concern is a loss of business. There's a study that they had out that it would really, you know, there would be a lot less purchasing of cigarettes in the state. And so that would really hurt business. And as a result, it would hurt revenue coming into the state.
Hmm.
And that's a big thing. One of the big lines of this association has to do with it would raise the cigarette tax on for off-brand cigarettes, 760% tax increase. So you also hear about, you know, do you really want a tax increase? And
right,
that's not necessarily proven to be very popular.
Well, the early polls seem to suggest that this proposition will pass and that the cigarette tax will go up. But then other folks say it's probably going to be a pretty close race at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know in 2002 and in 2006, Missouri voters were asked this question. Obviously, the initiatives then were a little bit different, but we did have a vote on raising the cigarette tax, and it lost both times. But it wasn't by a huge landslide, so we'll see.
Now, the tobacco companies, you've mentioned them here. In the past, they've really fought these increases, but I don't really think I've seen many TV ads from them this time around. Are they sitting this thing out, or...?
That's a very interesting dynamic. It's kind of the strange bedfellows because a lot of the big tobacco companies have said they're not getting into this race, even though they have been before in opposing this. And part of that is in 1998, there was a fund established in many, many, many states, and basically to help cover smoking-related disease costs. But Missouri is the only state that hasn't closed this loophole for these off-brand cigarette companies. And so this would close that loophole. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear about the tax being raised a lot, very high, where it's specifically talking about, I mean, it's going up for all cigarettes, but in particular for those off-brand cigarette taxes. And so that would kind of, eliminate some of that competitive advantage that big tobacco sees in these other off-brand companies. Mm. So.
We're visiting with KCUR's health reporter, Alana Gordon. What has Governor Jay Nixon said about all this, Alana? Has he sort of indicated a direction as to what he thinks the state should do here?
Well, last month in a debate, gubernatorial debate, he was asked that very question. And basically what he said is that, you know, he doesn't necessarily support that, but, you know, he's there to see what, you know, the Missouri voters are putting it to the Missouri vote. And see what happens with that.
So, in other words, he really hasn't taken a position.
No, he's not. He said that for himself specifically, that it's not a tax isn't the proper way to fund higher education, but voters should get the chance to decide.
All right. Well, let's move on to this next proposition. This is titled Prop E, which would prohibit Governor Nixon or really any state agency from setting up these health insurance exchanges without the approval of the legislature or the state's voters. Why is this thing on the ballot, Alana?
It kind of depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on the one hand, you know, at face value, and when you do talk to a lot of, you know, the history of this measure and how it came about, it has to do with, you know, the executive power authorities and kind of reining in potential abuses of that, you know, not wanting to see the governor go forward, establish an exchange on his own. They have seen that in other states. On the other hand, it's kind of you can also view and you heard about this in the debate within the Senate and passing this measure in the state. Last session that, you know, it's kind of a showdown similar to Proposition C in 2010 on Obamacare, mm-hmm. before this or against it. So it's kind of this complicated history. So basically, you know, 2 years ago with setting up a health insurance exchange, there was a proposal that passed the House. Then it stalled in the Senate. Meanwhile, the state was going through and applying for grants to help get started on the infrastructure. And this kind of all came to a head a couple years ago when there was a committee that the legislature had touring the state to get input on what Missourians thought of an exchange. And at the same time, there was this quasi-public board that was getting ready to pass a resolution to take this infrastructure funding that this grant, federal grant, would do to get started on this process.
Mm-hmm.
And while this public hearing was going on in exchanges, the lawmakers involved, Schaaf, Cunningham, found out that this was happening at this other meeting. So they left the hearing and went over and interrupted this other committee hearing to say, hey, what's going on, guys? What are you doing? So it all kind of came to a stop. And one of the questions is, you know, Ryan Silvey with the Budget Transparency Committee talked about, well, if you're issuing these grants, it's a lot of money to these different contractors. We want a transparent process to see how you're selecting these companies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things you hear. But you also hear these kind of undertones of, you know, again, do we, you know, wanting, you know, the health law is not the most popular law.
Yes.
And so you also have that kind of political component.
Well, I think what you do hear is that some Republicans have been accused of sort of putting this on the ballot as a way to drive up turnout because anything having to do with the health care law is so unpopular in Missouri. Republicans think that might jack up turnout for them in November, and that might have been sort of a hidden motive. At least Democrats have been saying that for a while. Well, let's slow down here just for a moment, Alana. What is a health care exchange? We hear that phrase so much these days. What is it?
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things that I think conceptually can be a little bit hard to grasp because not to the scale, we haven't seen an exchange, a state-run exchange. So I think that's where it gets kind of murky. We're learning about this as it goes. The federal government's issuing guidelines, recommendations as we speak. So a lot of this is unfolding. But essentially, a health insurance exchange, each state will have one by 2014, as outlined in the federal health law. And what that will be is this kind of online marketplace where individuals and small businesses can buy health insurance. And
it's a listing of different policies
buy,
basically.
It allows you to compare and shop for these plans, make it comparable. And another part of this is it also is a platform to determine eligibility for things. The idea is that perhaps it'll help you figure out if you're eligible for Medicaid or some of these subsidies, depending on your income that you're qualified for. So it's kind of this way to centralize it, the idea, and to kind of streamline those processes.
We're talking about cigarette taxes here. We're talking about health insurance exchanges with KCUR's Alana Gordon. If you have a question about any of this, our lines are open, 816-235-2888, and our email address is updatedate@kcur.org. Well, will all this even be an issue, these health care exchanges, Alana, if Governor Romney's elected president and he decides to dismantle much of Obamacare, or will all this sort of fade away in that case?
You know, I'm not entirely sure the answer to that. Time will tell. I mean, you know, Romney has said that he would act to repeal the law. And I think one of the questions is, if he gets 51 votes in the Senate to make a filibuster proof to go through that budget reconciliation process, the question is, will the law be defunded?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big issue coming up with that. Romney has said that he thinks requiring insurance is the wrong approach. Now, you know, his plan in Massachusetts is kind of the model for the federal health law, but he's, you know, said at a state, at a federal level, he doesn't think that's the right approach.
Well, in Missouri, as you know, there was this big fight over the wording of the ballot language that voters will actually see when they go into the polls next month. In fact, Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, he's a Republican, he sued the Democratic Secretary of State, Robin Carnahan, over the original ballot summary language. Her original language was this, listeners can get a sense of what they think here. Should Missouri law be amended to deny individuals, families, and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans through a state-based health benefit exchange unless authorized by statute, initiative, or referendum, or through an exchange operated by the federal government as required by the Federal Health Care Act? Let's listen to what Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder had to say about all this.
That is loaded biased language on its face and blatantly biased and unfair.
What do you think?
Well, he filed a lawsuit and succeeded in having that measure changed. Now, you know, the Secretary of State's office has defended this language, you know, saying following law to, you know, reflect what the implications, what this ballot measure is about. So, the measure has been changed. Shall Missouri law be amended to prohibit the governor or any state agency from establishing or operated a state-based health insurance exchange unless authorized by a vote of the people or the legislature? So it is the wording has changed quite a bit in that way. But the implications and the questions surrounding that, depending on who you talk to, could, you know, have different types of consequences.
Again, Robin Carnahan, the key phrase was, shall Missouri law be amended to deny individuals, families, and small businesses the ability to access affordable health care plans? Boy, that, you know, you can maybe see where Peter Kinder was coming from, at least on this one. You know, interesting language there. And then
Another thing with that, there's more to this ballot measure than what we see in that summary, which is limited to 50 words.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we are moving forward, you know, 2 weeks after – very soon after the election, there's kind of this deadline where, states have to submit a blueprint to the federal HHS about what – their plan is for a health exchange. So there's a lot of things in this process and question of how prepared will states be in all of this.
Governor Brown back in Kansas hasn't really said what he's going to do. Has Governor Nixon indicated what he's going to do on that?
Well, Brown PAC is very clearly not supportive of an exchange. So mm-hmm. he's vowed to repeal it. And I think time will tell after the election what happens and how places move forward. Nixon has not, I mean, he's talked about he wants the legislature on board. This is how, you know, on the one hand, I mean, the climate in Missouri with the Nixon administration, with the insurance department, with social services is don't talk about this issue. Like mm-hmm. this is like, you know, politically. So we just there's such a stigma around it. We don't want to talk about it. It's hard for me to talk to people about it because there's just this sense of the political nature and how charged it is. But I mean, Nixon has stated numerous times that it's important to have the legislature on board. Now, mm-hmm. given the timing when the legislature comes back in session and when all these things have to happen, you know, there are decisions that there's a process, there's the preparation. There's, you know, looking at what do we want our health model health plan. Each state has to pick a model health plan mm-hmm. to kind of model off of for these individual and small group plans, which, you know, is you know, could say a lot. And so these discussions have to be happening.
But to be clear, you know, if Obamacare does survive and perhaps President Obama is reelected and the governors refuse to set up these exchanges, the federal government's going to swoop in and do that exactly then for them.
They are. And the thing is that what that will look like, you know, we're seeing that develop as we speak. I mean, Sebelius has talked about this and that, you know, the federal government's not in the exchange regulation business. States are really the folks that regulate insurance. So I think that there's this tone in the federal government, and even as we see the conversations and the outlines of now you can have a federal state partnership exchange mm-hmm. if you want, that the federal government really wants the states on board because the states kind of have that, you know, relationship within their mm-hmm. own community. The other issue with this ballot measure too, that's not within that, that's a question too in terms of you know, what it means is there's this. It's not in the summary, but basically there's this caveat that a person can sue anybody, a state worker who's doing stuff involved with an exchange. So I just wanted to get that in there. That's kind of a key part that might not be clear on that ballot language.
Well, former Governor Sebelius, the Health and Human Services Secretary, was asked this past winter on this central question of whether states or the Fed should run an exchange. Here's what she said.
Well, again, as a former insurance commissioner and former governor, I think states should have the primary role. I was very supportive of the framework of the bill that says at the state insurance is regulated at the state level. It makes sense that the state has the marketplace. But if indeed they choose not to do it, we will make sure that Missourians and Kansans have the benefits of the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, so I guess now it's in the hands of the voters here going forward. We'll see what they say in November, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, Alanna Gordon, thanks for coming in. Sure appreciate your time.
Thanks.
That's KCUR's health reporter, Alanna Gordon.